This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Times are looking up around the DMV for the local football outfit. Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan, telling you that just like Washington's football team, you got to start planning for your future. The exclusive sponsor for our show is the law firm Condorian Murad. They will help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family as well. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you and you'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. At the end of this segment, which is the end of our show, Deftones tickets going to be doled out on our phone line. So make sure you're listening at that time. We've also got to tell you later this segment who's getting sent home and who's getting immunity on Commander's Survivor as it is Tuesday. Danny, Friday, we are out and about in Alexandria.
Should probably turn my mic on. Dude, that is going to be fun. We're hanging out at Atlas Brew Works in Alexandria, 2429 Mandeville Lane. Stop by and check out Atlas's 15 taps, dozens of TVs, plus delicious pizza and wings. Friday from 2 to 6:30, that's when our show is, at the new Atlas Brew Works in Alexandria. For more info, visit thefandc.com.
Very, very excited for that. We'll get back to the phones in just a moment. People want to chime in on the possibility of Davante Adams and the Commanders. Before we do that, two icons in their sports passed away yesterday. Wanted to just quickly, as a show, address both of those deaths. First, Dikembe Mutombo died, former Georgetown Hoya. Here's a quick story. When I think Dikembe Mutombo, the first thing that comes to mind for me, my father years ago was going to take me to a Wizards game.
Mm-hmm.
I was about 10 years old, probably. This would have been around 1999, if I had to guess. And I had the option of three or so different games to choose from. And I picked the Atlanta Hawks because Mutombo was going to be playing. He was one of the first ultra-recognizable, beloved players that I remember from my childhood. I think, A, because he was so big and just recognizable, but had the deep voice and the big personality, and everybody loved him for some of the humanitarian work that he did as well. Obviously, the local D.C. ties made him even more of a legend around these parts with what he did at Georgetown. But I just remember as a kid, like it was Shaq, Dikembe Mutombo, mm-hmm. Michael Jordan. I think that was the group. There were a few others, obviously. But that was one of the first games I ever went to as a fan in, as far as any sports game. And it was partially to see Dikembe Mutombo, to hear that he died of brain cancer, which I didn't even know he really
had. I didn't know he was sick, yeah.
That's just, it's awful. And it's just so sad.
The Georgetown time is truly incredible. He did not come to Georgetown to play basketball. I repeat. He did not come to Georgetown to play basketball. He came as a student. He didn't speak English and was a recipient of USAID, which, you know, it offers development to international communities, underserved areas, etc. He was a brilliant mind, brilliant student who came to Georgetown to go to school. And John Thompson caught a glimpse of him on campus, and of course, the rest is history. Convinced him to play with Alonzo Mourning, Big East Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and an 18-year NBA career as one of the great defensive players of all time. But on the court, it's just a fraction of who this person was. As outgoing, gregarious, fun-loving, incredible personality, and I put his international and charity work, other-centered, up against anybody that's ever lived. I mean, an incredible, we don't have enough time in the rest of the show or the rest of the shows this week to chronicle all the different things that he did to help people off the court, but that was his passion. That was kind of his whole point, his whole persona was, I'm going to use this platform. I'm going to use what I've got to help people. Not any kind of agenda, not any kind of like message furthering. Just quite simply, I am here to help people. And that's what he did. Dedicated his life to it, man. Gone way too soon. That's really sad.
So many positive connotations mm-hmm. with Dikembe Mutombo. Sadly, there are negative connotations about Pete Rose. Pete Rose also passed away yesterday, the hits king in Major League Baseball. One of those numbers, if you're a baseball fan, that is synonymous with the sport, right there with 2632. 2,632 straight games for Cal Ripken Jr., or what 2130 became 2131 was when he surpassed Lou Gehrig. For Pete Rose, it's 4256. 4,256 hits, all-time leader in the hits category, more than Ty Cobb and Henry Aaron and Stan Musial and Tris Speaker, who round out the top five. Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame. Every other player who's eligible, who is listed in the top 23, other than A-Rod, who got busted for steroids a couple times over, is in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose was given a lifetime ban from baseball and is not in the Hall of Fame because he bet on baseball mm-hmm. when he was the manager of the Reds, obviously. He was a player, he was a player manager, and then he was a manager. Danny, the lifetime ban's over.
Yep.
I mean, I hate to be blunt about it, but his life has ended. I think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, I also believe that all the steroid users should be in the Hall of Fame, so I want to make the point that this isn't just a Pete Rose point. I think it's a museum. I think we tell good stories and bad stories and positive stories and negative stories. Ty Cobb, nobody seems to have an issue with being in the Hall of Fame, who's number two on the all-time hits list with 4,189, who is known, at least the stories that I've now since read, long after he died posthumously, for being just a horrible person and a racist and, you know, beating people up in wheelchairs. And there's all kinds of crazy stories about Ty Cobb. I believe Pete Rose, no longer living now, should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame as the lifetime ban lasted his lifetime. I don't know what you think about that, but rest in peace to the all-time hits king, Pete Rose. Thoughts with his family. Another terrible loss for the sports world yesterday.
Yeah, this is such a complicated thing. There's so many people that reflexively hear his name and just, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, he's a cheat, he's a crook, he bet on baseball, etc. I certainly don't condone it. It's a mistake. He's admitted as much. It's a mistake. You know, people say that you admitted it way too late when he put up this fight for all these years, and then maybe when he needed money, he put it in his memoir or whatever. So I have a very simple view of the Hall of Fame, maybe even simpler than yours. Did baseball at the time say a person was eligible to play Major League Baseball? If the answer is yes, proceed to step two. Did that player put up Hall of Fame worthy numbers and contributions to baseball during that time? If the answer is yes, proceed to step three. That person goes to the Hall of Fame. So that includes all the people that we've decided after the fact probably did steroids or maybe did or probably didn't, but they maybe did this kind of personal performance enhancement, but maybe not the other kind that we don't care about as much. It includes what Pete Rose did as manager. What he did was wrong. I'm not saying it was right. As a baseball player, Pete Rose put up Hall of Fame stats. I thought he should have been in before. I thought they should have finally said, let's stop all this nonsense and put the hit king in the Hall of Fame. But there's a reason to me that we got here. You can't talk about Pete Rose without talking about the Black Sox scandal in 1919. To me, what happened was this, that was a cloud over baseball that was such an extreme thing, and fixing games and gambling and how kind of closely tied it was to baseball for so many years that they were trying to separate it, that they still, the ghosts of that, even 80 years later, almost when Rose and the gambling stuff kind of finally came out, they basically said, we can't ever go back on this. We have to be the most hard line of hard lines ever possible. And I think that really resonated, and they kind of, you know, sort of stuck to their guns at such an astounding sort of way to prove that no, baseball, it's above. We're the most, with so much integrity. We have more than anyone else. Look at what we're doing here. And everybody kind of had to inherit that as Giamatti gave way to other commissioners over the years. And Manfred, of course, denied Pete Rose's appeal that he made, I think it was in 2022. So to me, this is one of those things where he'll never get to see it, unfortunately, as someone that has now passed away. But I'm with you. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think people can relate even more now with, you know, betting being synonymous and basically intertwined and ubiquitous in sports again and legal just about everywhere. We've seen the league step up and really punish players very severely when they find out that anyone's betting on premises, even if it's on other sports, because they know that intrinsic with the success and the future of these games is the understanding that the games are not being thrown at worst, or even just affected negatively, you know, maybe to say it more accurately. But I think that, A, there's evidence to suggest that he never bet against his team. Like, he never actively tried to lose on purpose because, as the manager, he had bet on the other team.
I mean,
this is not like the dude who coached at Alabama and put a bunch of money against his team when his pitcher was going to be out.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, I don't even really care about the specifics. The fact is, he was banned forever. They didn't want him involved in the game. They didn't want him to be coaching, managing, playing, doing anything else. He didn't. He sat it out. He literally the rest of his life had to pay for his mistake. He's no longer here. I think it is time to put him in the museum that is the Hall of Fame. You and I went to the Cincinnati Reds team museum when we were in Cincinnati with our buddies Kondori and Murad. They got us tickets. We walked through the museum. We saw an exhibit with every baseball base hit from Pete Rose. I mean, he was all over their museum. It was not cheapened because they included him.
Yep.
It was not. By the way, you know what happened when we were walking around? Me and one of the guys started talking about how he bet on baseball. And then, well, did he bet against his team? We're starting to Google and look up different things about Pete Rose. That's the point of a museum, by the way. Like, we weren't worse for that experience because they included him. But I do think it is time. But same day, by the way, Dikembe Mutombo, Pete Rose, just brutal. It seems like that always happens.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like one person that you really, either in the case of Mutombo, loved, watched, whatever, another person you studied along the way, like, passes, and then in the span of a week, it's like 4, 5, 6 key deaths. Just crazy how it just piles up like that.
For sure. It's, you know, all these things, it happens all the time. I mean, you know, celebrities or people that you have been part of your life, at least tangentially or from far away, that you've watched age and, you know, tragically are gone too soon, but it's, you know, it marks the time, right? Where, I mean, I met Pete Rose a couple different times.
We did
an interview with him when he spoke about Bryce Harper and those comments
made
the rounds.
I didn't think about
that. Yeah.
Was that Super Bowl?
Arizona. We spoke with him.
So I guess, right? I met him two times because he was doing, like, I want to say it was like a book show or something. Mm-hmm. He was always at these autograph shows, book shows and stuff, because he would make a couple bucks here and there.
Yeah, he needed to kind of, you know, walk around money.
I remember met him at something like that many, many years ago in Vegas.
I met him at another sort of sporting event kind of thing, and within 5 minutes, he's grabbing a pretend bat and talking about hitting and what he sees from different guys. Like, he's just a junkie for that sort of stuff, you know? So, I don't know, man, it's a bummer. My least favorite group of people, like non-criminal division, are Hall of Fame baseball voters. This is the same group of people that 12% of which kept, like, Mickey Mantle off the ballot.
Well, that's a bold stat. I mean, a lot of those people are on our show all the time who are your buddies. I mean, it's just those are just sports writers.
Right. I can't stand them. When these specific people that keep that didn't vote for Joe DiMaggio or Babe Ruth on initial ballots, or leave them blank, or have this weird, we're the gatekeepers of this thing, even though nobody appointed you that. They just decide we're higher and mightier than everybody else.
I'll have to remember to bring that up next time we have any baseball writer on the Beltway Blitz.
Well, if you were the guy that said I don't know, Willie Mays didn't belong in the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, then yeah, I think you're a jerk. So if we find someone that did that, I'm happy to tell him so.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Davante Adams is on the trade block. The report today from NFL Network was he is asked to be traded. He prefers to be traded. Sounds like the Raiders are willing to accommodate him. Just based on how the last week has trended, it does not seem like they're very happy with him. There's no report that anything's imminent or that they're going to be able to find a partner because he's got a lot of money left on that deal. But we were asking if you guys would be interested. On a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being trade for him this second, 0 being I don't care if they gave him to me for a bag of footballs. Where are you on Davante Adams?
3, and it's probably a soft 3.
Oh,
it's probably
you're
like 2 and change.
Lower than I even thought.
Yeah. I mean, again, the offense is humming.
This last 8 days has really changed your whole world.
They have a good offense. I thought it'd be terrible. I thought they'd be missing playmakers.
I'd go 1. I just want nothing to do with Davante Adams at this point. Let's go to Darren in D.C. Hey, Darren.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
I think I'm going to go with a no on the Davante trade. Now, I know Davante is a very good player. He's, you know, he's proven that with his stats and numbers. But we're going back to the old, same old story, song and dance when if you pick him up, we're going back to the same thing that we actually just escaped from the old regime. Picking up old players from free agency or off the trade block and think they're going to do something, which history tells us that when those players come to the team, 9 times out of 10, they don't do much. So I think if you continue to go, if we got away from that, the continuity that we have right now is good. I think we just leave it alone. Unless something else go down, then otherwise, let's just keep everything as is.
That's a great point. I mean, in fairness, I'll say number one, that just because previous regimes have gone and gotten veterans and it blew up in their face doesn't mean this team should not go and get any veterans. Mm-hmm. Veterans, you know, that is adding talent, trading, free agency, either way, bringing in, you know, accomplished players is not a pejorative. That's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing. It just so happens they didn't pick the right guys here. This group has proven so far, free agency in the draft class number one, things going pretty swimmingly, that they might be able to pick players at a higher rate. But I do like his idea of, look, the locker room is in a really good place. They got this brotherhood shtick that Dan Quinn likes to yell about going, where everybody's buying in on each other. You see them jumping up and down, happy for each other on the sideline. They don't necessarily need to rock the boat with another personality, and in this case, a personality who has been a malcontent. Let's go to Dean in Leonardtown on the Fan. Hey, Dean.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Dean?
No, it'd be an absolute zero for Davante Adams. Like the other guy said, in our past, if we didn't learn from Albert Haynesworth or any of those other players, I'm glad that Josh Harris is letting Adam Peters do the thinking. Our offense is playing, running on all full cylinders, and we are playing absolutely fantastic. We need to focus on our defense. We need a cornerback right now, and I really wish that Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen would start playing. They've been playing the whole time they've been here, and now for some reason they are not performing right now. I can't figure it out, but our defense really needs to step it up. But our cornerbacks, are we need work on that, and that's where our money needs to go. On a second note, I heard you say something about Dikembe Mutombo. I met him at a Bullets game when they still had the Capitol Center up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting under the goalpost when he was there to get an award one night, and I happened to be sitting with some friends. And I looked over. He was sitting in the same row as me, and I just notioned to my buddy, I could not believe how big the guy was.
Oh, it's crazy.
Sitting in a...
First time you see him in person, I don't know how to describe it otherwise. You're just like, humans aren't supposed to be that.
He's 7'2". He's built like Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, the arms that were so long. He was 7'2".
Wild. I was 10. I went to see him, and I remember standing there, not far, same as him, it sounds like behind the basket. It was Wizards Hawks in the late 90s, and just my mouth agape. Mm-hmm. Like, just seeing a human being that big, I'd never seen anything like it before.
Going to Georgetown games, man, was something at that point.
I bet it used to be a blast. My Georgetown experiences are very different.
A little bit less than that?
You go see like Paul White and Isaac Copeland at Capital One Arena lose games and nobody shows up, and there's a couple thousand people in the arena. Very, very different than what you're referencing.
Yeah. When you had Mourning and Mutombo.
National championship caliber basketball. Allen and Payne have been quiet for the most part through 4 weeks. This past week, though, they both had a sack. They combined for 1.5 sacks. I thought it was their best week as pass rushers. So hopefully that they'll trend up. Let's go to Nelson in the district on G&D. Hey, Nelson.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, buddy.
I'd say no to the Davante Adams trade because on the show Receivers, he just talked about how like the fans were miserable and the city wasn't great. So why would you want to bring him here where he's just going to be unhappy?
Are you talking about when he joined on DC?
Yeah.
That was on, he was on some show. Like
Hot Ones?
I don't know if they played on Receiver, but it was like
exactly.
Hot Ones. Like,
yeah, Hot Ones. Yeah, it was just, they were like, what fan base annoys you or what city is overrated?
It was like the fans were miserable.
Exactly. He joined on the Commanders. Well, his tune is changing because the other day when he was asked to single some players out who he liked, he mentioned Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, dude.
I wouldn't care about anything like that. Like, with all due respect to Davante Adams, I don't know if he's ever been here or if he knows anything about this area. He talked about, like, the area around the stadium that you'll never be there other than on Sunday between 1 and 4, dude. It doesn't matter.
That's right. It's not that important.
I mean, none of us are there between, you know, Monday through Saturday or, you know, January to August. So it doesn't matter what you think. That's not D.C., by the way. I don't think he knows that. I don't think he knows what he doesn't know. But what I know is, he's been a giant pain in the butt. and someone I'm just not that interested in trying to appease. X number of targets, X number of catches, kick rocks. I'm surprised with how many people said no, although it is indicative maybe of the fact that right now people are feeling pretty good about what they're seeing and they don't want to rock the boat.
Because what I thought was going to happen is they were going to struggle to throw the ball, really struggle to score points, and be in such dire need of a playmaker. So if you'd asked me this question a month ago, I'd have been like, yeah, deal with the headache. Somebody come here to help Jaden Daniels. Well, Jaden Daniels is being helped plenty. So again, mea culpa. I was wrong then. I was wrong after week one. And I am raising my hand that they had a much better vision and design for this thing than I ever could have fathomed. So yeah, they saw it and I didn't see it.
It's been a couple games. I mean, you might still get to have your moment.
Look, I'll tell you this. I didn't think they had that in them at any point this year.
That's fine.
So much better than I thought they'd be. I thought we'd be coming in here going, they are in such need of somebody to help as a pass catcher. And they don't need that right now.
I'm just saying it's been 8 days. That's all. I mean, they're a quarter way through the season. A lot of football still to go. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You're winning tickets to see Deftones North American Tour. Congrats to you. The North American Tour, April 6th at Cap One Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. It is Tuesday. Before we say goodbye, it is time for Commander Survivor.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Last week, John Allen got sent home. Let's see who is joining him in packing their bags this week.
All right. And so to get booted off this weekend, it was a very, very close race. But it is number 94, Daron Payne. He has been booted off the island.
Both D tackles gone in a matter of weeks. And by the way, D Payne had his first sack of the season.
The times they are a changing.
I mean, people are salty,
dude,
with the two big D tackles.
Did I pop Darius with the Bob Dylan bit?
It's not bad. No? I don't think Darius reacted to that.
Darius was smiling at something. I thought it was me.
He's smiling to the fact that Allen and Payne are gone.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I mean, they've been our finalists for the last 3 years.
And okay,
they're both gone.
So now you know it wasn't me.
Yeah,
that's
no
good to know.
No sold the bit.
Yeah,
sorry.
Thank you. Good to know. I just caught him smiling. I thought maybe it was because I said something.
Last week, Jaden Daniels got immunity. Who got immunity this week?
This week, it looks like it will be one Brian Robinson, his second in 3 weeks. I think Brian Robinson and Jaden Daniels are just going to pass this back and forth.
Starting to feel that way. That's the old ground and scramble connection.
Mm-hmm.
That's the run DMV.
Thank you.
Big fan of the run DMV. So B-Rob, immune. He is on to next week. He will be alive for the Baltimore Ravens and Commanders Survivor. Someone's getting sent home after the Browns game. He doesn't have to worry about that. Tomorrow, we will spin all around the NFC East. We'll blitz the division. If you missed any part of today's show, including our interview with Austin Eckler, he tells us he should be good to go against the Browns. Grab that, thefandc.com. Luke McCaffrey was great on the show yesterday. That's available at grantanddanny.com as well. Caps tickets at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Make sure you're locked in. Linnell's got overtime coming your way next.
Thank you for coming.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.